Track 1. Welcome to the Home Study course sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. This course deals with autism. Our primary intent for this Home Study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is James Brinigan. I will be the narrator of this CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of this course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with autism issues. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes, or if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce the CD. We encourage you to duplicate, give copies of the CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable. Thus, we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with a section of the content that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So just a hint. After you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally, I will use the term therapists or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapists, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD set, we will discuss such topics as compensating for the lack of language, echolalia, replacement behaviors, and floor time. So let's get started. Questions concerning autism. On this track, we will discuss questions concerning autistic spectrum disorders that I present to parents who are in need of basic information. The six basics that I include are as follows. What is autism? Should an autistic child run wild? Is it genetic? Environmental factors? Is it something I did? And is there a cure? As you listen to the rest of this track, evaluate whether playing this track might be beneficial to a parent or relative of an autistic child you are currently seeing. Robert, age 27, and Megan, age 25, had been married for 5 years and were parents to Trina, age 2. Trina had recently been diagnosed with an autistic spectrum disorder. Robert and Megan came to me with questions. Their doctor had, of course, provided Robert and Megan with general information about autism, but due to their overwhelming feelings regarding the diagnosis, they were unable to assimilate much of the information. Since the mental health center was adjacent to the hospital, Robert and Megan were referred to me on an outpatient referral. Number 1. What is autism? Robert and Megan's first question, of course, was, what exactly is autism? Compare my response to Robert and Megan to the one you give. I stated, autism is often explained as a disorder of the brain that causes impaired social interaction, problems with verbal and nonverbal communication, and unusual or severely limited activities and interests. Megan asked, what is going on in Trina's body that makes her behave the way she does? I asked, would you like a technical explanation or a simple one? Robert and Megan stated they would prefer hearing the technical side again. They had mentioned that the doctor spoke rather quickly. Compare my explanation to yours. I responded, "Everyone's brain contains a brain stem that receives sensory information. The brain also contains dendrites. Dendrites are the neurons through which the sensory information travels. These dendrites look like the top of a tree. The tree has a trunk, of course, which is the brain stem. Many branches reach out into the various sections of the brain. We call them brain trees. Everyone has a brain tree." I then found it helpful to explain what a brain tree is by stating, "The brain tree of a typical child will have many branches, and from these branches, twigs that cover all the regions of the brain in just the correct position. The branches are very healthy-looking, and there are a lot of them. However, the brain tree of a child with autism is very different. Instead of strong, healthy limbs covered with twigs, the child with autism's brain tree will have fewer branches, and the branches they do have are likely to be frail and spindly-looking." Megan and Robert seemed to be interested and able to take in this amount of information, so I followed up information about the brain tree with information about sections of the brain. Each section of the brain manages certain aspects of a person's everyday functions. One section manages what that person sees. Another section manages what he hears, his speech, balance, movements, thoughts, etc. When a typical child's brain receives sensory input, that information will go out to the proper branch of his brain tree, and he will know exactly what to do. However, sensory information entering the brain of a child with autism might not be able to reach its destination. I asked Robert and Megan, "What if the branch of the brain tree that processes what Trina hears is cracked or broken? What do you think would happen inside Trina's brain if a teacher, one day, said to her, 'Trina, please go to your desk and pick up a pen and bring it to me'?" Robert responded, "Well, maybe Trina would go to her desk and see the pen, but she wouldn't know what to do with it." I stated, "Exactly. Trina would hear what the teacher had said, but some of the teacher's instructions would likely get lost or confused in Trina's brain." Number 2. Should Trina run wild? Megan asked, as she anxiously glanced at her husband, Robert, "So, should we just let Trina run wild and do whatever she wants?" How would you have answered Megan's question? I stated, "Not at all. As part of society, I can imagine you will want Trina to learn proper behavior just like anyone else. Children with autism can and do learn. However, Trina will probably learn best in consistent, predictable environments where her needs will be understood and where people are willing to learn and make accommodations for her differences. Other clients of mine who have had children with autism tell me that they maintain high expectations for their children and respect them, but they need to have a lot of patience with them as well." Number 3. Is it genetic? Robert asked, "Is autism genetic?" I stated, "I have read a few recent studies that strongly suggest that some people do have a genetic predisposition to autism. However, these are not yet proven." Number 4. Environmental factors. Robert said, "I've heard that environmental factors can be related to autism in children. What exactly does that mean?" I stated to Robert, "Environmental factors relate to things that cause autism or contribute to autistic-like symptoms after a child is born. Environmental causes include adverse reactions to vaccines, particularly mercury, used as a preservative. In some children, the mercury may build up in their systems and alter brain development. Also, some children may develop autistic-like symptoms as a result of food allergies or yeast buildup in their systems. Many environmental causes of autistic behaviors can be controlled with diet or through yeast or mercury reduction." Number 5. Is it something I did? Megan asked, tearfully, "Is it something I did?" How would you have answered Megan's question? I stated, "No. The only people who are fairly certain of a cause are parents whose children were clearly affected by a vaccine injury, or those whose children improved dramatically when given a certain diet and therapeutic interventions." Number 6. Is there a cure? Robert asked, "So, is there a cure for autism?" I stated, "There is no cure, and I would strongly caution you from spending money and time in pursuit of one. If you find a program that makes claims to cure Trina, do your homework before signing on. Insist on talking with other families who have participated in the program. Realize that they are likely to give you names of only satisfied customers, so you must ask some hard questions. what sacrifices did they have to make to achieve results? Were the results long-lasting? Would they do it again? Robert and Megan appeared to be satisfied with these explanations. I also provided them with some books I felt might be of assistance. I have found the book by Cohen, Autism, The Facts, listed in the bibliography of the manual for this course to be beneficial. However, the local public library has numerous books on this subject. You probably have found, like me, that oftentimes parents of young autistic children do not know the basic facts. You might consider playing this track for your client. On this track, we discussed questions concerning autism. These included, what is autism? Should an autistic child run wild? Is it genetic? Environmental factors? Is it something I did? And is there a cure? On the next track, we will discuss compensating for lack of language. This will include finding something worth trying for, modeling the words, getting them to talk on their own, keeping things social and interactive, turning requests into conversation, and encouraging initiations. Question number one, what is autism?